Okay, I think that you need to say, well, if you go beyond a certain point in terms of those earnings, then surely you can be weaned off of state assistance. But there are a lot of people who, like you, cannot live on what is available, because as we have seen, there has been a significant increase in the cost of living for many people, notwithstanding the fact that some people end up going to the feds. A woman wrote me here, and I wanted to know that I did receive the correspondence that she sent. She said to me that basically there are people, yes, who go and fet and that sort of thing, but she believes that that is part of the means of trying to distress, according to her.
Even though we try to distress, you know the word you just used, but distress. I don't go to fest. I can't afford to do anything like that. I don't go anywhere.
This person says, persons will party as stress has to be worked on or addressed in one form or fashion. Most persons who party pool their funds as a group to buy food and drinks while out, as well as attempt to purchase early bird tickets or win tickets on radio programs. Yes, there will always be VIP for those who want to indulge, even though they can't afford. So she's suggesting that what you're seeing, on the one hand, masks the fact that people pool resources to have drinks and that sort of thing. She says, we have to shop for food or not, we will starve. So, you know, she says, most times the people drive from supermarket to supermarket to get the best deals on food, not realizing that they're spending more money on gas. So there are other people who are experiencing what you're talking about. She says,
exactly, but then there are those who really on the bottom of the scale. I can't drive nowhere. I can't get enough fat. There's nothing so I could do. And even a walk to the supermarket is painful. So it is like, you know, you're trying, but
Understood.
It is hard, you know. And
Understood.
I just asked if she can just remember to look at those.
Look at those people on welfare. That's basically what you're saying.
Well, I'm not.
And disability.
Disability that getting so much less than that cannot live on it.
Point taken.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing your experience with us and putting that on the table. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, David. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
Okay. I'm fine. I'm noticing that in the recent weeks, your adrenaline is charged like my own.
You notice it?
I'm picking it up, yes.
You sure that's not part of your imagination?
Oh, it's not my imagination.
What's wrong with your phone? There's a lot of noise coming in from your phone.
Noise is maybe, I don't know.
What's on your mind, though?
Okay, I have, first of all, the first comment, and the other things are two concerns. My first comment is that the Trinidadian, Miss Trinidadian lady, I am finding, and people that I talk to, are finding that she likes to have ample time on the radio. But yet this morning, she's saying that sometimes you run some people off. But I really do think, David, that you need to grant people a certain amount of time, right? But I'm noticing, and from what I'm hearing, that a lot of people feel that she gets over her time.
Too much time. I've had complaints about that.
Correct. Right. And it is only her that has contributions. We all have. I have been holding on for the last hour. Now, my two concerns are, as a mother and a teacher, I didn't want to really bring it up. As a mother and a teacher, I really found on Sunday night, and I'm telling you this from a friend of mine who went to the DLP's meeting on Sunday with her two teenage children, 13 and 14. She doesn't support any party. And she called and she told me the next day she had to leave the meeting because the type of carrying on with the type of low politics and the language, she could not let her two children be really listening to that. And I'm saying, David, that this is nothing to do with politics. As a human being, we are saying, and I think you hear that too, and what is the problem with our young people in our society today? But when you look up to leaders, who carry on in that low kind of manner, what do you expect the children that I teach who have, who are born now with sense to aspire to? What do they think, David?
This idea, right, that politicians can behave as they're like, they don't have any responsibility in that regard.
Correct.
Because it is politics.
Correct.
Is really outrageous, and it is up to members of the public, the electorate of this country, to remind politicians that that is not acceptable.
They're
slipping further and further into the gutter.
This is what I'm saying. And so the lady then came to our meeting on Tuesday night. In fact, she wrote in Bildi, and she said, you know something, Sandy, I heard nothing like that. You have, what I'm saying, people who speak in public have to be careful on the language, David. And we are seeing every day in forums, organizations, you know.
They're setting a serious double standard in this country.
This is what I'm
saying. I hear people, and I want to say this, huh? When it comes to the BLP and the DLP, not everybody behaves that way, but there are a couple of people who really need to watch it with the kind of language.
It's correct. But you know what I really want to drive home here? Some of those members had relatives, David, in my school years ago. They're grown ladies and gentlemen and have really blossomed into fine young people. So, and I actually had to deal with those people years ago. I'm talking about the same people who spoke on the platform on Sunday. And it really has disappointed me, and as I said, more so as a teacher,
okay,
that people have to really listen to that crap.
Well, you've made that point. You've made that point.
Yes.
What's the next one?
I am hoping that that does not continue. The other thing is that I am finding, David, that a lot of the, I mean, I read a lot and listen to a lot of, you know, stories and so on the radio. I really do think when I weigh up the pros and cons, we are way ahead by leaps and bounds with our policies. And I didn't really call in to speak on the policies per se. All right?
Which of our policies, though?
What, which is what?
Which of our policies are we leaps and bounds ahead of? And leaps and bounds ahead of whom?
Ahead of the government.
You say we, when you say we, you mean the Barbados Labour Party, you support?
Correct, the Barbados Labour Party.
Okay, well, basically, you know, as I tell you, I really don't want to encourage a partisan kind of thing.
Another person called in and spoke about respect. In life, David, I think you would know that. We have to earn respect. We have to earn it. And I would really like to see that, and for the next 2 weeks, however long, that this government set some kind of example for big men and big women.
Well, you've made that point already, so let's move.
I have to drive it home.
Okay, well, let's move on. Let's move on then. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David. I'm going to be very fast going. Thank you, Ronnie. No, they was here real, real long.
Sorry about that.
Now, listen, you had a Trinidadian mentioning something to you about moderators and so on and the time and so on, just now to you.
Something like that, yes.
But let me tell you, David, man, you have a moderator there who was on Wednesday. Her name is Lisa Gale.
Yeah.
That same woman tried to railroad Lisa Gale, but to be honest with you, David, I always listen to Lisa with that little funny voice. I know you never know she had so much fur on her belly. Because she dealt with the Trinidadian woman the way she should be dealt with. And I was very proud.
Yeah, okay.
Now, let me say this too, I'm going to be very fast. They are complaining, the Democrat Labour Party supporters complained about what took place last night with Mayor Martin's presentation, the manifesto. But David, Clyde Maskell and Mayor Molly outlined the manifesto to the thousands of people who flocked to Kingsland last night. And I believe we all are satisfied with what we heard, and we have the manifestos to read and digest and understand everything that is our manifesto. So I have no problem. Why don't I hear listening, and I hope the rest of the BLP supporters would allow the Democrat Labour Party supporters to come in and cry, and because I enjoy the pain and the crying that they're doing right now this morning after last night's presentation.
Okay.
So
I want to do something more positive here before we go to the news. There was a woman who called us not so long ago talking about the difficulty she's facing on disability, that she doesn't get enough money, and she wants the opposition to think in terms of a proposal as well for dealing with that. Somebody here wants to help this lady, and I suppose I can give the number out because that's the only way you're going to get it. Now, call this number, please, and take it, and I will repeat it for you just in case you miss it. The number is 243-5766. 243-5766. Okay? And if you miss it, you can give me a call. I'll call through the switchboard and I will call you back. Okay? We're going to the Starcom Network News next. Down to brass tacks. This issue of the conduct of the politicians on the political platform is one that really requires the feedback of the public, maximum feedback. And I want to say to you that wherever it raises its head, then you should be speaking to it. It does not matter whether it's B, D, or any other party in the country. The problem that I have with it all is that these politicians set double standards for this society. They know when everybody else needs to be brought into line. They go and pass laws with the whole idea of trying to make you wear a seatbelt, make you wear a helmet, draw you into line. But then they believe that they can conduct themselves however they want and come with this excuse about we must accept it because that is politics. You guys need to tell them that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. And more people need to feed back to them. The people who actually swearing on the political platform as well, irrespective of who it is, you got to be able to say that conduct is unacceptable. First of all, it is disrespectful to the people in their own camp who don't approve of that behavior. It's disrespectful to their political leaders and their colleagues. And most of all, it sets a very bad example for the rest of the people in this country. And what is really reprehensible is the extent to which people sit down or stand up and cheer that kind of behavior and then tell the rest of us that is politics. Language that other people can be using in public and they get away with it. But let a little person do that in public and see if the police don't go and hold them. It's wrong. And we need to speak out against it, irrespective of which party and who the person is. Because the other part of this is, some of them want to beat us into submission. Frightened to speak because we don't want to get attacked on a political platform. That is something that more Barbadians need to stand up and be counted on. And I hear some of it. I've heard some of that from the Dem side. And I've heard some of it from one speaker in particular on the Barbados Labour Party side as well, where we must say to them, stop it. You have the capacity to communicate your message without having to go that far. People are watching. And this, the kind of example that you set today, somebody else is going to come tomorrow to try to outdo you. Let's realize that at the end of the day, we all have to drink out of the same soup. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I feel passionate about that because I think that we must say it's not good enough. Hello.
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Yes. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Miss Ellis, Mr. Johnson there with you?
Yes, he is.
Right. I want to deal with the abolishing of the road tax. I heard Mr. Maskell this.
Yes.
I'm the first person that brought this on the program over 2 years ago. And I talked to Mr. Johnson. I guess Mr. Johnson got a good memory.
So they must be listening here.
They was listening.
So you need a drum roll.
but listen, even Mr. Maskell made a boo-boo of it. It can't work the way he thinks.
Why not?
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. Sent to the person who talked about it.
Okay.
This is how I said we would propose it. I said that we would abolish the road tax and we would put it on gasoline. I also said we still would have to maintain some kind of tax, which would be a registered tax for all cars. So all vehicles, at least. If your car and you pay $400 in road tax a year, you will now pay a registration tax of $50 a year because you got to keep tab on the vehicles and the numbers actually be yours. So the police should be able to tell check you to find out if you are roadworthy and everything is right. You understand where I'm coming from? So you have to have that tax in place. Otherwise, like the SUV that pays $1,600, they would pay $200 in registration tax yearly. But then you will abolish vehicle road tax and you will put it in gasoline and also upon all lubricants, oils, transmission fluid, brake fluid, all oils and things. You will put whatever percentage.
Let me ask you the question. Why is it that what you propose will work and what he has proposed cannot?
I'm coming to that. I put it straight across the board. Mr. Maskell won't penalize people that on the road every day. Just how you can work that? You got a toll in place
for every
road.
But if you...
You got a toll in place on every road to know who's on the road more?
No. The way it would work is if you're on the road a lot, you use more gas.
The more gas you use... He's not saying it that way.
That's what he said.
No, he's not saying it that way.
Sir,
no.
That is what I heard him say last
night. No, he's not saying it that way.
What is he saying?
That those with big vehicles will make to pay more.
Stop. Let's not quarrel about this. Mm-hmm. The point is that if you have a larger vehicle, you use more gas. You have a bigger tank, so that's what. And his argument is that people who are in commerce, they are the ones who use the roads more, and travel more, and therefore they should pay that tax.
I get it that way, Mr. Ellis, because he said those that are on the road mostly will pay more, and he said that those with big vehicles. So I get it. He mean that those freighting trucks, the ZRs. It is all linked to gas.
But at the end of the day, it is not linked. It is ultimately linked to how much gas you use. That's what I heard.
But you want
to go beyond just the guy who you say all lubricants.
Yes.
It's just gas and all lubricants.
Yes.
So who are you penalizing? Who are you penalizing?
I'm penalizing nobody because everybody can use lubricants too. Yeah, sometimes you can put oil in your car, you can use brake fluid, all them type of thing. What I'm saying...
So you wouldn't bring in far more... You wouldn't end up bringing in far more money if you extended it to lubricants as well?
But that's the aim of it, Mr. Ellis.
To bring in more money?
Yes, listen, Mr. Ellis.
Wait on me.
Suppose road taxes bring $50 million a year, mm-hmm. Okay? You got to work out now how much gallons of gasoline... How much millions of gallons of gasoline is sold a year to work a percentage, whether it be a 10% or 15%, you may have to put on gasoline. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to work out that. And then you will apply that as necessary. You will then turn around and say, well, I got to put on the same 15 or 10% on all lubricants and everything. To work it fair. To work it fair across the board. To work it fair across the board, that's how you have to.
I would think that there's got to be a link between this and the policy when it comes to the pricing of energy in the country. And therefore, I'm anticipating that the full manifesto must be speaking to this in light of the criticism that has been directed at the Democratic Labour Party by the BLP about the energy policy, the energy pricing policy. So I do not feel that we have at this stage, I think we need to get more information on it too. I agree. I understand your point because I can, on the surface, what I anticipate, as soon as I heard it, I expected that people in business would naturally say, so doesn't that push up the cost of doing business in the country? Does it not? Does it not impact on inflation? However, remember, they also made the point that they want to do away with NSRL. Now, so if you do away with NSRL, you can argue that that tax could come, and it may not necessarily, wouldn't be expected to bring in as much money as the NSRL. So you may be swapping one for the other. Okay, so that's why we need to hear the full policy outline.
But Mr. Ellis, you can't link NSRL and road tax.
Why not?
You're going to have a loss of revenue when you abolish road tax. Remember, you got to get back that tax from some other way.
The gas.
You'll be swapping it.
It's the gas.
When you put it at the gas, that the NAR tax is a different tax. You can go find a different tax to fight.
My friend, at the end of the day, it is what... Look, come. At the end of the day, it is the money that goes into the treasury. Money lost, exactly. Money gained. Full stop.
Yes, exactly. Another thing I talked to you also, if you recall, me and you had a discussion. The lady was just talking also about the national insurance. I told you that they say there's X among the thousands of self-employed people that don't pay national insurance. I told you what I would have done is get the officers, some officers, or train some officers and go out there and approach every self-employed person from the knack seller to the hairdresser to the hawker, to the coordinate vendor, the VSI mechanic, and everything. Mm-hmm. And you approach them and you encourage them to get registered and pay national insurance. And you're going to work a system. Now, you've got to
understand. And if they don't?
But it's left to them. It is left to them. You can't force anybody, but the way you will do it, you're selling it. You're going out to them and you're telling them, listen, this will be beneficial to you. If you could pay $20 a week towards national insurance, we can give you a card that you can go and swipe at SurePay. You don't have to go out national insurance and do it because a mom might be in St. Lucie ain't got no cause to come into town. You got to put these, or you can pay at the post office or anywhere. You got to make it as easy for people to do.
Okay.
Because most of the people right now, either working in government or working in the private sector, where they take out their national insurance and pay it in for the workers. But for a self-employed person, who can find it hard to do that, to go out and go down national insurance and pay? You've got to work a system. Get these people registered. If they pay even less $20 a week or how much they can afford, the more they, you tell them the more they can pay, the better for them.
Okay.
The bigger their thing would be.
Thank you very much.
Then you would could pay what Ms. Motley's talking about. Otherwise, Ms. Motley's going to throw the national insurance in chaos.
How?
Because you can't pay them to... all the money that she's saying that she will move.
Look, my position is I want to hear this thing out before I come to a conclusion. And I've heard arguments for, I've heard arguments against. And that's the way you need to deal with it. Don't go with the first argument for, nor the first argument against, all right? Somebody raises this question here. They say, regarding road tax, what about electric cars? They don't use gas, and some agencies have switched their delivery vehicles to electric vehicles.
But there, let them go charge up.
We got to go, sir. We have to go, sir. Thank you very much.
Electric cars go charge up.
We got to go.
That's the true electric company.
Thank you.